Welcome to this episode of the Biology of Trauma podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. In this episode, we're diving deep into the connection between grief and gut health. It's a relationship that impacts so many yet remains largely unrecognized. Your doctor or maybe your therapist are likely not going to talk to you about this. How do I know? I've experienced it firsthand and no one talked to me about it. All throughout my medical training and residency, it was never brought up. This episode was inspired by a question from Marie, who posted on LinkedIn, "Dr. Amy, I lost my mother 2 years ago, and ever since I've been dealing with chronic bloating and digestive issues. My doctor says it might be IBS, but I really don't know what to do. Is this emotional? Is this all in my head?" Marie, I'll be answering your question at the end of this episode, because in this episode, you will learn how unprocessed grief changes the biology in our body. You'll learn about the three hardest types of grief to process, how grief gets trapped in the body, in particular the digestive system, and the crucial difference between being stuck in grief versus grieving. So whether you're a practitioner supporting those with grief or gut health, or someone who's on this healing journey yourself, this is the place to be. Now, don't forget that the Biology of Trauma podcast now airs a second, shorter, high-yield episode every week. So take a second and hit subscribe. I'd hate for you to miss a topic that could change your life or practice. Let's dive in. Lena came to me as a patient after seeing a number of specialists, and she was experiencing bloating, some GI issues, the kind where she'd been able to push through for a while, but it just wasn't getting better and she was tired of it. She looked like she was 6 months pregnant by the evening with the bloating, and it was draining her energy. She'd find herself just kind of mindlessly doing things in the evening because of the pain and not able to be fully present for the social events that she wanted to go to, the family that she wanted to be a part of. And she noticed that she had developed, seemed like, a sensitivity to everything. So it wasn't that she could just eliminate one food and that would solve her problem. She'd tried that. She'd tried all of the things. And it still wasn't getting better. And so she sits in front of me. I've got this huge file in front of me. Lots of stuff that she's been through, lots of stuff that she's done. She's done all the labs, all the studies. And I decide to ask her a very brave question. And I asked her, "What happened that should not have happened and that has been too painful for you to face and to feel?" You should have seen her. Her whole posture just collapsed in front of me. She looked down at the floor. She didn't have any words for a while. And in fact, I could barely see her chest moving with a breath. She wasn't having the deeper breaths that I could even see her belly moving in and out like I should be able to see. She went into that shame posture, and I could tell that there was something. And then she said very quietly, "I don't even want to say it out loud." She struggled with her words as she went on to say in broken sentences that when she was young, a teenager, she got pregnant. And at that time growing up, that was not okay. And so her family needed her to keep it a secret. And they sent her away. They sent her away to summer camp so that no one else would know. And there she was forced to adopt the child out and was not even allowed to see him when he was born. I could feel her grief as she told me this. And all of her gut issues made perfect sense to me now. She'd been holding that in because she didn't feel like she could share that with anyone. How could she? She had been told that that was something shameful. And so she'd kept it a secret. She'd come back. She'd assimilated back into her school and her friends and church and pretended that she had gone to summer camp and had never actually been able to say it out loud. Grief, regret, chronic freeze, shutdown. It affects our mind, our body, our biology, especially our gut and our vagus nerve. Now, her grief was not just that loss. Her grief had its threads that went all the way back to her childhood. As you can imagine, if her family was one that felt she needed to be sent away, be pushed out, because she could not belong in that family if this is what she was, then you have an idea of the family dynamics growing up. She had never considered this, but as we gently explored these family dynamics, she realized that she had never felt unconditionally loved. She had never felt like she could just be celebrated and accepted for who she was. She had always felt like she had to perform in order to belong. And this has been a pattern that I have seen in everyone that has come to me with grief, and as you will see, with gut health issues, that it goes back to our attachment in our early life, always. And so she had experienced all three of the hardest types of grief there are to process and to move through, which is why she'd gotten stuck. Now, here's something that was fascinating for me with this particular patient. When I looked at a recent x-ray, I noticed that her diaphragm, that should look like a nice dome shape, it was what we called in medical terms flabby. It wasn't nice and toned and healthy. It was just more flat. And these are the biology effects that happen in our body, so that grief is not just sadness. It is so much more. Grief is going to be something that becomes a craving that we cannot satisfy. And it's going to become a cue of danger for our amygdala that keeps us in that place of shutdown. Now, you might think that if it's a sign of danger, that it would keep us in stress. But let me share with you what happens. You see, that day when I saw Lena, it stirred something within me. Because while our stories were very different, it also had a lot of similarities. I was one that adopted a son from the foster care system. She was one that had put one in the system. And so while you might think that those are very different scenarios, actually, what happened ended up being very similar stories. And I found myself in grief and getting stuck in grief. You see, when I adopted Miguel, it was never with the intention of adopting him. I was just taking him in as a foster child. I had just finished my master's in biochemistry. I'm going back into third year medical school. And I'm single. This is not the ideal family situation to adopt. But I had a few months in between. And so I decided, let me foster. I can at least foster. And Miguel was the one that they placed with me. And as they placed him with me, I could see why I was the last option for him. He was so overcome with his trauma that it showed in his behaviors. And he had some very aggressive behaviors that made him not safe to place in any family with any other children or pets. And so here's Amy. And the system, the county is thinking she's the perfect placement for Miguel. I had no idea what I was doing. I was just trying to be a good person, trying to do what I could, make a difference in the part of the world that I could. And so as they placed him with me, it came to the point where I had to make a decision. Do I adopt or do I send him back? I knew that if I sent him back, he would go into a group home. I didn't want that for him. But I also didn't know how to manage this much trauma in this small of a body. I didn't know everything that I know now. He was the inspiration for me learning everything that I know now. And so I made that decision, not knowing how, not knowing the how, but knowing that I did not want him to go back into that system that had only traumatized him more. And it was very hard, and it was very rough, and my life was often in danger, and my home became a child psych unit. And what happened is that as I found all the pieces for him over 6 long years, 6 very hard years, things changed. And by the time that I had found all the pieces that he needed and he was ready now for connection and relationship, I was in surgery residency. I was unavailable. And now I had to be the one, like my patient, who for different reasons had to adopt him out to another family. The grief that I went through was more than I had ever experienced in my life. It felt so unbearable that I threw myself into anything and everything that would keep me from having to face it and to feel it. How could I? There was so much regret. There was so much looking back over the years. Is there anything that I could have done differently to not put us in this position where I can't be his forever mom? And realizing that that never was the purpose for my role in his life. I was just a stepping stone to get him out of the system, to find the healing that he needed and get him into a very, very wonderful, very wonderful, very wonderful family that had 2 parents, had siblings for him, had pets and animals and horses, all these things that he loved. But I got stuck in that grief because I had to learn that when something is so unbearable, that we get stuck in that grief rather than being able to grieve. Grief is different than grieving. And that's what I want to share with you today, is how do we grieve? Because I got to a place where I realized that in every area of my life, I was being held back, held down by this grief and regret. My gut was a complete mess and disaster, and I was eating all the foods that were only exacerbating the inflammation and the pain. And I was afraid to open back up to life, because if that is what happens when I make myself available to life, I can't go through something like that again. It's safer for me to stay guarded, keep my heart closed. I don't want it to ever hurt that bad again for what we went through. And so rather than learning or knowing how to grieve, I got stuck in that grief that is not stress. That is the trauma response. And it becomes trauma biology. And our gut takes the largest hit because of the role of the vagus nerve and its communication from the brain to the gut and from the gut back to the brain that keeps us in that place of shutdown because of the inflammation and the overwhelm. The 3 most challenging types of grief are absent grief, attachment grief, and heart shock grief. And in all of my patients and in all of the adopted children I ended up working with when I started running the nonprofit that I started, they all not only had these types of grief, but they all had gut issues. So let's look at these. Attachment grief. Attachment grief is a life threat. It feels like a life threat. And when we were young, it was a life threat. And attachment grief can either be too much too fast, meaning there was too much chaos around, or it can be that there was too little for too long. And that's where there can be both attachment and absent grief. But when we have attachment grief, we didn't have the words to express our grief back then. And so we find ourselves living in a way where we try to stay in our head because we don't want to feel the grief, because it feels like a life threat. We try not to feel our body and our heart and our gut. Absent grief. Absent grief. How do I grieve the loss of something I never had? We feel lost and alone because we have no reference for what others are experiencing. And if we don't know how other people do life, well, then how do I even know how to be? How do I even know how to do life? I have no reference for what others got because I didn't experience it. And how do I grieve the loss of something I never had to lose? And then we look at heart shocks. Now, heart shocks is something that is a very specific type of grief that they can come together. And the way that they come together is that a heart shock is when the impact of a loss is unexpected, unbelievable, and it makes us lose our orientation in the world. That means that I don't know who I am right now. I've lost my place in the world right now because that was my identity. And I've lost something fundamental about who and how I saw my place in the world. And so the heart shock is this element of a grief, of a loss, but it comes with the shock, just like a whiplash. There are other types of grief where you see it coming and it starts slowly and it builds, and then there's the loss. There's not the whiplash of, I never saw that coming, and it's at such a deep share. It's at such a deep level of shared pain that I don't even know how to continue in life right now. It's a whiplash. And that whiplash happens at our heart level. And so literally our heart has a whiplash and it has the impact of a shock as if it were electrocuted by a electrical shock. And it can feel that way where it feels like for a moment in time, our heart literally stops beating. Our breath stops. This is the freeze response as our body goes into then the shutdown. And that shutdown happens where the danger, the overwhelm, the loss feels so unbearable that there's a part of us that stays in that shock place. It doesn't fully recover. And so that is why it can be so hard to move on and process a heart shock when it is connected with grief. Let's talk about regret for a moment. I remember the patient that came in and he was having chronic issues with his gut where he had had a prior surgery on in his abdominal cavity to fix a hernia, but his intestines kept shutting down, and we would have to go in time and time again and cut these adhesions to free up his gut and have it be able to function again. But this kept happening, and it kept happening, and it kept happening. Now, if you are a regular surgeon, and I know that you've all secretly wanted to be a surgeon, if you were the surgeon You would say, well, no problem. I get paid anyway to do the surgery. Let's book them the next available day. You wouldn't think anything of it. But as I had been working with these adopted children and seeing their gut issues, again, like Lena, I felt that there was something deeper. I didn't know, but I decided to ask him the same brave question. What happened that was never supposed to happen? And you've been afraid to face it and to feel it. And the same thing happened to him. His posture collapsed. He couldn't look me in the eyes. And he went on to tell a story that he had been driving with his girlfriend in high school, and he was so in love with her that he wasn't paying attention well to his driving. And he got in a car accident and she died, accidentally killing someone. And he had been living with that regret. Same as Lena, afraid to tell anyone because of what they would think of him. They would label him as a bad person. And so he had thought it best to just stuff it. But this was the impact on his body. Our gut cannot hold grief and regret and stay a healthy gut. It's impossible. And it's impossible to have gut issues and to not feel grief and regret. I think of all of the premature babies that I ended up working with later on because they had attachment and trust issues. And so I was working with them to help them learn to love and trust their parents. Premature babies, they experience grief. They experience attachment grief, absent grief, heart shock grief as they're born into the world. And rather than a warm welcoming, they're rushed off to a NICU with bright lights and blood draws and isolation. All of them had gut issues. We cannot experience grief. We cannot hold grief and not have it affect our gut. And because of the vagus nerve, we cannot have gut issues and it not impact our ability to grieve and not get stuck in grief. Let me explain why. So much of this goes back to our diaphragm. You have this diaphragm, and this diaphragm is amazing. It's a muscle, and it's what allows you to breathe in and breathe out. And the way that it does that is it moves down, so it contracts in order to move down into our gut, and it creates this vacuum, this negative space in your chest that then brings in air and oxygen. And then when the diaphragm relaxes, it moves back into your chest and you breathe out. And you breathe out all this CO2 that you need to breathe out in order to stay balanced in your physiology. This is what allows us to be alive, our diaphragm, moving up and down for us without us even having to ask it to or to appreciate it and acknowledge it. But if our gut has a ton of inflammation, does our diaphragm want to drop into our gut? What happens with inflammation is that there's this increase in pressure that builds up because it attracts fluid, liquid, lymphatics get trapped. And so there's increased pressure in your gut. You may have felt increased pressure in your gut if you have bloating, if you have pain, if you have digestive issues. You may have felt that, and you may not have noticed that. Oftentimes, when you feel that window space that I talk about in supporting our stomach in the 21-day journey, that's an area where you might feel tension and some pain. And that would be one way for you to know, my gut has some inflammation. And it's right there underneath the diaphragm in our lymph nodes. And because those lymph nodes then become hard when they're inflamed, our diaphragm has a harder time pushing down to be able to take a deep breath, which is why it doesn't. And that's why we naturally will shallow breathe when we're holding grief or when our gut is inflamed. because it literally is harder. It takes more energy to take a deep breath. And why would our body want to do anything that feels hard? It's in shutdown. It needs to do whatever is easiest. It's in energy conservation mode. And so our diaphragm just sits there and it barely moves with every breath because it's hard. It'd have to take and use up energy to push down those lymph nodes to get a deep breath. Your diaphragm is supposed to give your heart a nice hug with every breath. Ah, what a lovely thought. My heart getting hugs. Except when our diaphragm is not moving, guess who doesn't get its hugs? Ouch. And that is why grief can give us the sensation that our heart is sinking in our chest. Because our diaphragm is supposed to be the one underneath the heart that lifts it up and with the pressure of moving up and down, gives it that squeeze of a hug that says, you're not alone. You're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And that is why the sensation of grief is often felt in our heart. It's because it's not getting the hug from the diaphragm that it normally would with every deep breath. And our gut is not getting its massage. Yes, your gut gets a massage. And no, you don't need to book that with your local therapist. This is what your diaphragm does for you. Your diaphragm, as it drops down into your gut to expand your chest, the pressure is like a massage for your gut so that it moves lymphatics, it moves toxins, it moves things through it. It's that massage that allows it to be healthy. And when that diaphragm doesn't drop down, our gut becomes static. It just lays there, not getting the movement and the vitality that it normally would with every breath. So let's talk about how and why that happens then. So when we have our gut impacted in the way that it is, we have a whole nervous system that's in our gut, and it's going to be giving us different signals now. So, especially with attachment grief, attachment is strongly connected with the gut because of the vagus nerve. And that vagus nerve is going to connect with the gut nervous system or the enteric nervous system. And this nervous system in our gut is so large. There's so many neurons that it's considered our second brain. Some experts say it really should be called the first brain. It's making serotonin. It's making neurotransmitters. That doesn't just happen in our brain. That happens in our gut. And the gut and the brain are connected with this vagus nerve so that whatever's happening in the gut is gonna travel up to the brain, which is why when we have gut health problems, we often notice that we have the brain fog, the mental fatigue, the imbalance in the neurotransmitters that leads to mood imbalances, whether depression, anxiety. But not only that, our intuition. And so as we look at the impact of grief and regret, we're seeing such a large impact on our life and how much it holds us back because we feel we need to hold this and not be able to open up to life. How much it affects our health because we can't take a deep breath. And we walk around with gut issues, whether we feel it or not. Sometimes we're so used to it that we don't even feel it anymore. Or we don't know what's happening underneath the surface and don't realize that there are still imbalances and enzymes not working right, or low acid or high acid. There's all of these systems that are involved, and we're not always going to notice those. We're not always going to feel those. But then it's in our relationships. It's in our relationships with others, and it's in our relationships with ourselves where we see ourselves as broken. We see ourselves as having a broken wing. It's not safe to fly. So how do we then go from grief to grieving? What's fascinating is that grieving is the process. It's a verb. It's a process of remapping a relationship. Now, whether this is a relationship with a person, a pet, a place, maybe you moved from a place that felt like home and you're grieving the place, doesn't matter. It's all the same process where we have to remap our relationship with that person, place, or thing. Because in our mind, it has become associated with specific things. If we had a partner, a life partner, well, that became associated with, I have someone. I have support. I'm not having to do it all alone. Yes, they bother me sometimes, but I'm not alone. And this is where I find them. I find them in my home. I know where to find them. I know how to reach them. I know that if I go home, I can see them. Or I know that if I call them on the phone, I can talk to them. That has been a relationship, and our brain creates these maps for what is my relationship with you? What is my relationship with my dog? I know where she's going to be every day that I get up. And I know that she's going to want to go on a walk as soon as I get up. And then I know that she's going to want food. And I know that as soon as I just talk to her in this, you know, whatever doggy voice, her tail wags. And I love to see that. Like, our brain maps the whole relationship out so that it becomes familiar. And that's what has to be remapped for the grieving process. When am I going to see this person, place, pet, or thing? That needs to be remapped because now it's different. How am I going to connect with this person, place, pet, or thing? Now it's different. And that's the grieving process. Grieving is the process of making a new map. A new map that involves time. When am I going to see them? It involves a new map of location, place. Where am I going to see them? It involves remapping of these elements of the relationship, including our attachment with them. Ah, here comes attachment again. What is my attachment with them? What is my identity within that relationship? I no longer live in that place. I'm needing to remap my attachment to home. Those of you who have moved, especially to foreign countries, very much know this disorientation that can happen when you move to a new place, or maybe you're moving out of a group. Maybe you grew up in a religious group, and then you decided that that really wasn't you. But the change was also a change in your attachment to that group, in your sense of belonging to that group, in your identity as being part of that group. So even if it's a good thing, it's still a process of remapping, which is why we can still grieve over good changes in our life, because it's just the process of remapping my relationship with time, space, and my attachment or my identity. And when those three things are overwhelming to us, that's when we will stop grieving and we'll just stay stuck in grief. Grieving is the process of remapping that we want to learn how to do. And so this is where I decided that this is what I wanted for my life. I didn't want to stay stuck in my grief and regret. And I also didn't want to forget the past. I needed to figure out a way to honor the past honor my relationship with Miguel, as an example, and still be able to open up my wings and fly. And that's kind of how I see this process of remapping, is that ability to not forget the past, but to be able to mend and repair our wings to be able to fly. So that if I were flying, I would still be able to see the past. I could see below me. I could see all that I had been through. I'm not trying to forget it, but I'm also not wanting to stay in it. I want to be able to fly. And that is the process of grieving. Grief means I'm still stuck on the ground and shut down. Grieving is this process that will allow us to be able to take a deep breath again, have inner peace about the past, and in the process of remapping, be able to fly. Now, to circle back to Marie's question about whether the gut issues are all in her head, the grief of losing your mother could be connected to your chronic digestive issues. And in fact, it is a sign that this loss felt like a significant threat to your body. I wonder if you remember having thoughts of, I don't know how to do life without my mom. Or perhaps feeling that now you will never have the relationship you had always wanted to have with her. Both of these present a significant loss that can overwhelm the body, and then it manifests as symptoms in our body. It is a sign that this loss is more significant than what our mind would like it to be for us. Remember the diaphragm. This should be giving your heart a gentle hug with every breath, and it likely is not moving fully because both the shutdown response and the inflammation in our gut. And this creates a cycle where shallow breathing further restricts the natural connection and support that our intestines need and our heart need. And that shallow breath then further restricts and creates the biology of trauma in our gut, leading to the persistent digestive systems. I encourage you to listen to the related podcast episodes that I will have about the grieving process. In fact, other tools that you can use, and I'll have links for those in the show notes. Let's talk about those for a moment. I'll have a resource for you. One would be my book, The Biology of Trauma book, and how the body experiences and holds fear, pain, and overwhelm, so you can understand why this particular loss was what overwhelmed your body. I am giving over $400 worth of bonuses for those who pre-order now, and I have those links in the show notes. The 21-day journey, many have taken the 21-day journey because of grief and wanting to safely access it and regain a sense of safety, energy, and find their authentic self again. Over the course of 21 days, I guide you through a structured sequence of somatic-based self-practices designed to help you reconnect with your body, befriend your body, calm your nervous system, and begin healing from the inside out. I will include a link to my Steps to Identify and Heal Trauma guide. Why? Because this 23-page guide helps you recognize when grief has become stored trauma in the body, and then get the simple steps to the healing journey. It is great for anyone who wants to understand trauma better and how to recognize it in the body and support others even on their own healing journey. Related podcast episodes, you'll want to look at episode 42 on unlocking the role of disguised grief with Dr. Joan Rosenberg, and episode 89 on tapping and EFT and energetic boundaries for inner child and gut issues with my friend Jennifer Partridge. I have a related YouTube video that I wanted to include for you because it might be also helpful. How you can create change in your life after trauma. And this is a video on relationships, and especially it being a loss with your mother. Felt this could be helpful to you. And with that, I'm here to save you time and money by bringing you practical information that will help you accelerate the healing journey. So please take a moment to leave a review. Your reviews and feedback are how I know how to improve this podcast, bring you great content, and help others find information that can change their lives and practice as well. Subscribe over on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube so you don't miss the second high-yield podcast episode I drop every week. I'm your host, Dr. Amy. Until next episode, lots of love.